The word Christ. Here's the theology I have to share. The word Christ comes from the Greek word, which means anointed. It is the Greek form of the word Messiah, which also means anointed. Christ, Messiah, anointed one. The people to whom Peter preached that day were familiar with the concept of a Messiah. The Jews viewed the Messiah as the one who would be sent by God as their deliverer to liberate them from their bondage. We looked at that last week, right? If you were here. In Jesus' day, most Jews believed that the Messiah would be the one who came to free them from the Roman rule. But here's what God's plan was. God had a different plan. See, he didn't send the Messiah to free people from the oppressive Roman government. Listen, he sent Jesus to... Jesus came to free people from the oppression of sin. Sin is a vicious disease, and unfortunately, the entire world is infected with it. We have a sinful nature. That's the God honest truth. But Jesus paid it all. The Bible is clear that we have to make a choice as to whether I will make Jesus my Christ, my Savior, my Lord, and rely upon him as the only means for dealing with my sins. He's the one that makes me right with God. We talked, as everybody was eating, the impact of this little word picture of a donut and push-ups. They said, we don't do it alone. We can't do it alone. Do dead people get up? You can bang on their forehead and they don't do nothing. We are spiritually dead. We can't save ourselves. It is the finished work of Christ. So are you right with God? Have you made that choice? Or are you still trying to make it through this life in your own efforts? Because I can promise it ain't going to work. You might have a good day, but when the bad days come, and they do, you're going to fall short. It's not enough to ponder the proof of the resurrection and believe it as fact. It's not enough to recognize the significance of the resurrection and understand that through the resurrection, God has made Jesus both the Lord and Christ. We still have to respond. That's that choice thing. When we're brought face to face with the reality of the reality of the resurrection, a response is required. I have read that 5 or 6 times, and I never saw the rack of ours there. How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? All of it. Look back at Acts 2:21. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the truth of God's word. That's the action we must take. Here's the problem. Not everyone will choose to respond to that truth in a way that it will impact their life. I agree. There was a Jesus. There is a God. He did what those people say he did. But they don't own it. That's knowing of God, not knowing God. It's knowing about Jesus, but not knowing Jesus. It is only those who call on the name of the Lord. The Bible tells us they will be saved. In other words, I have to make a choice about how I'm going to respond to the resurrection. Am I going to live it each day, or am I going to celebrate it by chance once in a lifetime for some? See, people come to church, they have this preconceived notion. You'll come in, there'll be red carpet, there'll be candles, the organ will play, people sing, they pray, some guy will talk, and we go home. And they sit in the car and they say, yeah, that's what I expected. I'm speaking God's truth here, and it is worth living for. And the only way to do that is what I need to describe some right now. How do I call on the name of the Lord so he can become my Lord? Has anyone ever told you? What do I have to do? Well, Romans 10, 9 and 10 gives the answer. It's a simple truth. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart, that's the core of your being, God's word tells me you will be saved. Why? Because it is with your heart that you believe. It is with your heart that you believe God raised him from the dead. For it is with your heart you believe and you are justified. So I have to break justified down. Justified, never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. With that information, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It is by faith, not works. He did the work. He did the work. You got a donut. Jesus did the work. You get salvation by faith in him alone. There are three things we need to acknowledge and three things that need to be asked for. This is another part of the sermon that really needs to land on our hearts and our minds today. She prayed for it. I'm expecting it. Here we go. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. The Bible is clear. Every one of us is a sinner. I can prove it if this book is true, and it is. Romans 3:23 plainly states, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God wants me to admit that. I fell short. I'm sure I fell short 5 times here unknowingly. I know one time. I'm so sorry for that. Ask her about it. Acknowledge that with God's help, I will turn from my sin. This is the whole idea of repentance. It's not enough to just be sorry for your sin. We have to have a desire to turn our lives around. And then third, we need to acknowledge that I'm helpless to do anything in my own strength. I turn to God's word again, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. This is God's word. He's speaking to you right now, and this is true. You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, here's the truth, we were by nature deserving of wrath. The truth is, I am dead in my transgressions and sins, and I can't save myself. I am completely dependent on what God has already done for me. Here's the truth. He's done it for you too. Whether you want it or not, the price has been paid. What must I do? Ask. Ask God to forgive my sins. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sin, purify us from all unrighteousness. It goes on to say, if we claim we have not sinned, and I've met people who say that, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. God has promised to forgive the sins that we confess. Yes, yes. Calling on the name of the Lord invokes asking God to be Lord of my life. I suppose the question to ask there is, have you done that? This seems to be the part that gives us the most trouble. We want to be in control of our life. I do. We want to be the one in charge of our lives, but we need to give Jesus charge of all things. And by doing that, we make him Lord of our life. And the third, ask God to accept me as his child based on what Jesus did for me by his death and resurrection. I can't do anything to save myself. I have to trust what Jesus did on the cross, and I do. He paid for my sins. No, he paid for the sins of the world. Can you imagine that weight? Just my sins would be enough. I can't imagine what your arms feel like. Right now, you're good. Tomorrow, I know it's the day after, man, it's going to, phooey. What Jesus did that I can have life. Don't take it for granted for another day. If we're going to be the church God desires and intends us to be, here's the secret. We need to constantly make sure we are focused on the resurrection. Apart from him, we can do nothing. You know, I'd love to see the place filled, but I don't care about the numbers here in this little box. I care about the numbers in heaven. And here's what I'm going to give you. I can't do it myself. I need your help. Bring a friend next week because I'm not preaching. It'll be a great service. We got a young guy coming who loves the Lord, who's attentive to the Holy Spirit. I had lunch with him. All he talked about was God. He's infected somehow with him, I guess. But maybe he's the one that holds the match, that'll light the fire, that sets this place on fire. Fresh wind, fresh fire. And then in 2 weeks, when I come back, I won't have shoes on, maybe. I definitely won't have this jacket and tie and shirt on. I am sweating like a hog. I might look good, but I don't feel good. So that's probably what you're going to remember from the service. But what you need to do is acknowledge that you got a sin problem. And then you need to ask God to forgive you. And what you really, really, really need to do right now is ask God to lead your prayer. Like, I don't know what the man just said, Lord, but I'm unsettled right now. So let's bow our heads and see where we wind up. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. And I'm praying, sneaky God, unsettle us. Make us ponder the proofs of your resurrection. They're undeniable. I thank you that you have given us your word, that it is true and it is effective for making us into the people you created us to be. God, I pray that as we celebrate with our families or as we sit by ourselves, we would think about you. And what you sacrificed, that you gave as a free gift, that we can have eternal life. God, give us new understanding. Give us the desire to read your word. And we'll begin with 1 Corinthians 15. We know that you are God. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.